It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in. What did you do to your camera? It's another episode of Cabali and Mac.
It's all messed up again, huh?
Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Follow us on all your social media. I have secured the giveaways for the holiday season, Kaboom. I stopped and picked them up. Was it yesterday or the day before? And we will have special giveaways throughout the holiday season from Thanksgiving leading right up to Christmas that we will soon tell you about, but I have secured them. They are in my vehicle. And
oh, that's nice.
What? Wait.
Bring them in the house.
I'm going to bring them in the house. Don't worry. They're fine. And we will be giving some.
Who leaves them in the vehicle? I mean, what are we doing here?
Because it takes up a lot of space. And so it's in the trunk. It's secure. Don't worry. The car is safe.
I can see you never grew up in Port View.
I grew up in Baldwin. Don't worry. The car is fine. We live in TJ now.
I didn't grow up in Port View. I lived in Port View. Somebody once stole a bag of topsoil for my yard. I was hot, man.
That sounds like such a Mon Valley thing to do. Steal somebody's topsoil from your front yard.
Took like two bags of topsoil and stole it from me? Really?
We got a lot to get to today. Like I said, make sure you're following us on all your social media because that's how we're going to do those giveaways throughout the holiday season.
What? From who?
Huh? What?
From where? What kind of giveaways?
We're teasing the announcement, Kaboom. We tell them we got a bunch of great giveaways.
These teases don't work anymore. And I just noticed this the other day on the fan. They're like, there's something going on with the Pirates and Jeff Passan. We'll tell you when we come back. I pick up the phone and say, Jeff Passan Pirates. And there it is. There's no tease.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody can go online and look up what the giveaways are going to be or who they're from yet. We'll give it a big pop on Friday, okay?
All right. Well, you're the brains of the.
That's frightening. We're also just about 39 subscribers away on YouTube from hitting that magical 3018 number. Why is it 3018? Because once we get there, we're going to pick a name at random from all of our subscribers on YouTube, and they'll get to choose. They either get an autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet or an autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin black leather vest. So make sure you're subscribed and you're telling friends to subscribe so that one Ian's can win one of these things. Of all the stuff that we're giving away, thanks to our friends at First and Goal Collectibles for getting us the goods as far as the Will Howard helmet go and the Stone Cold Steve Austin vest. They're already asking what else we want to give away. So the holiday is going to be a big time. We appreciate each and every one of you for following along here on Cabali and Mac. Thanks to the Dan Heck team as well for supporting the show. On board since the very beginning, helping you buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team. They're ready, willing, able to help you buy or sell your home in the Pittsburgh area. So we will have, if you didn't see it on social media, major announcement. Dave Wanstedt will be on the show in about 20 minutes or so, 20, 25 minutes from now. He's going to pop on, obviously, Pitt legend, NFL head coach for many years with the Bears, the Dolphins, obviously coached at Pitt. But a good week to have Wani on as it's Bears week for the Stillers. And we have no idea who the quarterback might be on Sunday because Aaron Rodgers has a slight fracture in his wrist, Kaboom. Not going to require surgery. As Mike Tomlin said yesterday, they're going to brace it, see how he handles it when he does get to practice. Doesn't sound like he's going to practice today. Might not be till Friday. Might be minimal practice, if that, on Friday, and see if he can go. We know Aaron Rodgers is going to lobby to play. He, after all, owns the Bears, as he's told their fans in the past, and has a pretty good track record against Chicago over the years. But here's my question. If Rodgers is less than 100%, and we've already seen him at times look like he's not as excited to take a hit as some quarterbacks. I mean, if I were out there, I wouldn't be excited to get hit either. But when you're 41, just a couple weeks away from 42, you're less excited to get hit. Would you rather have Rodgers back there protecting himself and his wrist at less than 100%? Or does it make sense to let Rodgers get healthy because they believe they're going to the playoffs. We think, given their record, they're still atop the AFC North. They've got a good chance to go to the playoffs, that you'd rather have Rodgers healthy for the playoffs and trust a guy who many, including the two of us, see as the best backup quarterback in the league to hold down the fort.
Well, you know, I have yet to get my medical degree. It's still coming. I'm guessing Cal U hasn't got that out to me yet. But I'm thinking, do you think a wrist heals in 1 week?
No.
Still going to be fractured next week.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's true. I think you go through with this week, and if there's no issues with them trying to find him feeling comfortable, which I don't see why it wouldn't be. I mean, put a brace on
it. He's got a broken bone in his hand.
Well, he's going to have a broken bone in his hand tomorrow, too. And next week, too. And 2 weeks from now, right? Isn't that like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's like being slightly pregnant. No, you got a broken wrist, right? Or broke. It's, we mean slight fracture, you know?
I don't know. I didn't use the terminology. They did.
Wrap the sucker up and get out there. And I think that's what they're going to do. Put a brace on it. Maybe they have to alter some of his under the center snap exchanges, maybe his handoffs, maybe not. Who knows? But I find it hard to believe. Number one is Aaron Rodgers says, "Not, you know, I'll sit out this one." And number two, Mike Tomlin saying, "You know what, Aaron, you're sitting down here." It's going to have to come from the doctors saying he is at jeopardy of hurting himself more if he goes out there and he be ruled out medically. He wouldn't be medically cleared. That's the way I would look at it. It's the only way he doesn't play.
Well, I think it makes sense from Mike Tomlin's perspective to go to Aaron Rodgers and say, again, we're not doctors. We don't know what the exact report says. If it says, hey, you can be further injured, this can go from a slight fracture, a slight pregnancy, to a full-blown fracture if you play more, and that you could be out longer or risk further damage. The or twins, if they've said, if you will, right? What?
Slight pregnant to twins, if you will.
Yeah. Or if they've said, yeah, you know what? There's no risk of further damage as long as you can tolerate the pain and it's still functional. You can go out and play. We don't know where it is on that spectrum. But if I were Mike Tomlin and there were a chance that Aaron Rodgers' wrist could be in better shape in, say, 2 weeks against the Ravens or 3 or 4 weeks down the line, and I know I have a backup that I trust, I would be inclined to go to Aaron and say, listen, I know you want to play on Sunday. It's Chicago. I get it. You want to play every game. This maybe has a little added meaning because it's going back to Chicago, all that stuff. But Aaron, we need you in late December and January because we believe we're going to be there. And if it can help you to sit down for a few weeks, then this is the reason we had. This is the reason we went out and got Mason before we got you, Aaron, because we trust him and we believe we can go out and win football games with Mason while you get healthier.
You can sit here and make an argument any way you want. I mean, the bottom line now is there's a finite amount of time Aaron Rodgers has left in his career. You think he wants to throw away one game? Might not mean much to us. But it would mean a lot to him. You know, these are the days that I miss our buddy Relaxed Styles.
Yeah.
Could you imagine him grabbing the miracle scene where Irby goes, "What's wrong with you? Put on your gear. You're a wuss," or whatever he was saying. He's hurt, Irby. You know, having Rodgers and Tomlin's. That's what it reminds me of. So, you know, if he can't hurt it anymore, get out there. He probably can't hurt it. I just don't think that he's willing to give up a game, any game, at this point in his career. And I am very skeptical of Tomlin saying, no, you're not playing for the betterment of this team. Even though we know Mason can put together a victory.
But well, that's the other part of it.
Do you really believe? I mean, honestly, deep down inside, deep, way deep in there.
Uh-huh.
Do you think Mike Tomlin really trusts Mason Rudolph?
Well, no. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone out and traded for you know, Justin Everybody. Fields and brought in Russell Wilson. He wouldn't have gone out and signed Aaron Rodgers. Mitch. He would have just entrusted the job to Mason Rudolph at some point.
So there's something deep down inside saying, yeah, this guy does it for us, but I don't know if I can trust him.
But I truly
don't think Mike Tomlin wants to go away from his word and stop Rodgers from playing in a game if he's medically cleared. Get out there. I don't think Tom will say, hey, I know you want to be out there, but for the betterment of this team, sit. I don't think that will happen.
So you don't think, even if it was deemed better for the team to have a healthy Rudolph rather than an injured Rodgers, you don't think Tomlin would say, let's do what's better for the team and go with the healthy Rudolph?
No.
He would sacrifice what's better for the team to do what's better for Rodgers.
Yeah. I mean, they might not.
What the hell are we doing here?
They might not lay it out that way. I mean, they might, you know, put it under the umbrella of he's not medically cleared or something like that. But that's my opinion. I don't really believe that he's going to tell a guy. I mean, it goes against everything that he believes in, too, Tomlin. Hey, I take those things out. They're out of my control. Whether they're not or whether they are, who knows? That's what he says. If he's cleared, he plays. If he doesn't clear, he doesn't play. And then that's an easy way out and an easy way in.
Well, it's an easy way to answer the question if you're Mike Tomlin when the media and the public ask you about it. But I don't know if it's necessarily the right answer when you've seen Rodgers play skittish the last few weeks. And then he finally gets hurt. And now it's a question of, well, not only is he going to be even further gun-shy and skittish back there in the pocket, but now there's the functional question of how much that hand hurts and how much he can do. Thank God it's not his throwing hand. This decision would be made a whole lot easier, I guess. But given the way Rodgers has played the last few weeks, given the way Mason played in the second half against Cincy, I know it's the Bengals' defense. It sucks. But we talked about it on Sunday right after the game. He got two drives. He scored on both of them. This is the reason you brought Rudolph back as your backup, because you knew you had a 41-year-old starting quarterback who might get hurt and have to miss some time. And again, if you really believe in Rodgers that much, that's fine. But don't you want your team to be in a better position 4 or 5 weeks from now where you believe Rudolph can hold down the fort just as well against Chicago, Buffalo, Baltimore as an injured Aaron Rodgers, and hopefully Rodgers heals a bit and is better in a couple weeks and is ready for the playoffs at 100%?
I mean, that's a much of speculation there, but I'm telling you, I think that Rodgers playing in the eyes of probably the guy that makes the decision might be, even if he's not 100%, their best option, you know? I mean, if you're Aaron Rodgers, who's, you know, pretty fluid with his words, pretty convincing, and Tomlin is too, saying, hey, man, I'm playing against Chicago. Can you really see a scenario where Tomlin goes up to him and says no? I mean, I think Mason will go in there and be, you know, more than adequate. He might even give him a better chance to win. I'm not going down that route. I'm just saying that what I think might happen. And I just think that, and I will reiterate it for the fifth time, the only way he doesn't play is if he's not medically cleared, in my opinion.
So that's what might happen or could happen or will happen. But I think we have to question, look, who's ultimately in charge here? Mike Tomlin, right? Mike Tomlin is in charge. Or is Aaron Rodgers in charge of this situation? Because when it comes down to it, as much as I like what Rodgers has added from a veteran experience level, I think that's helped them at times. When he's playing well, he's no doubt better than Rudolph when he's playing well. But we haven't seen him play particularly well the last couple of weeks. And with that in mind, plus the injury on top of it, I do think Rudolph could give you a better chance to win football games right now. If that's the case and you're the head coach, you got to do what's best for your team, not best for the veteran future Hall of Fame quarterback riding off into the sunset.
But they probably believe you're speaking globally, right? I'm speaking Tomlin, who probably thinks that Aaron Rodgers gives him a better opportunity to win at this game, even if he's not 100%. So, and he might. I mean, don't you want to get Rodgers back to maybe the Chicago game is what he needs to break him out of this mini slump of him?
Maybe.
I mean, that's why I truly do believe if you're not going to practice until Friday, potentially only a walkthrough on Saturday, you're not going to be able to gauge his readiness. You're just going to have to go what you know of him. And he speaks glowingly of the 20-year veteran of 42 years old of being able to handle stuff like that. And we've seen Ben do that many a times, just show up on a Sunday and play lights out. If it's a broken foot or shoulder or whatever, I still think at this point in time that you have to go with what the quarterback wants. Unless they see something glaring that he can't take a snap, he can't do this, and maybe they do that on the side, then maybe that changes their mind. But at this point in time, right now, I put my money on Rodgers.
All right. Playing. And I don't question.
It's going to be the best decision, but I think that's what's going to happen.
I don't question Rodgers' toughness, right? I don't. He does have the ability to go out there, to withstand the pain, and I think he could put up a huge game against Chicago. That's still on the realm of the spectrum of possibilities. It's still in there at maybe one end rather than the other, but I do think there's the other end of the spectrum, which is Rodgers doesn't totally believe in the pass protection. Rodgers doesn't want to get hit. And guys aren't getting open right away. And if he's holding the ball just a second or two longer, he's going to be less inclined to want to get hit, knowing that if he falls on that wrist again, things may get busted up even more. And I think that could affect his play. That's all I'm saying.
Are we overreacting to the point of he doesn't want to get hit? This is a guy that's taking the ball and run 10, 12 yards down the field. If he didn't want to get hit, he would just say, forget this. I'm throwing it away.
Maybe in those situations where he's taken off and run with the ball, kaboom, he's hit the ground and slid, and he knows how to protect.
You don't know what's going to happen until you take off. Maybe there's a guy comes out and goes, oh, man, I'm not even going to take that chance if I don't want to get hit.
I don't think it's like a patent 110% across the board, I don't want to be touched kind of deal. I think it's, I don't want to get hit hard. I don't. And that's happened few and far between this year. I will give the offensive line credit. And I don't think the offensive line played a bad game on Sunday against the Bengals. They've had their moments that have made you question things. Certainly against the Chargers, they didn't look great at times. There have been a couple times this year where they didn't look good. But for the most part, I think it's been a slow ascent towards looking better overall later in the year rather than earlier in the year. And I still don't know, though, if Rodgers' belief in them has translated along with that. And if he doesn't suspect sometimes that he's going to have to take a hit and he'd rather avoid those hits. I don't blame him for that. If I were almost 42 years old and playing in the NFL, I wouldn't want 275-pound dudes bearing down on me at full speed either.
It's not like he hasn't done that. I don't know. I think that's ingrained in you in 20 years. Of doing this, that's just part of the job. I really don't see him. I can't say it fully because there was a couple throws in LA that were like, okay, chuck and duck type of things.
Yep.
But there's not too many of them, I don't think. I don't view him as a scared player.
It's not scared even. It's just tentative is the best way to put it. Tentative. And look, it's not just on him. Like we've talked about, the receivers might not be getting open. The offensive line might not be great protection on every single snap. So, and again, if I were 41 and that were me back there, I might be a little tentative too. But you add an injury to it, and I think it lends itself to some more tentativeness. We'll see if he practices at all. We'll see if he talks, if they're willing to go with him even without any reps.
Let's see if he talks to us media losers here in whatever.
3 or 4 hours from now?
This afternoon.
Yeah. Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show and doing a good thing this holiday season. Get your furnace checked up. They'll come on out and do that furnace inspection for you. Rather than for $79.99, for $39.99, if you donate a new article of kids' clothing or a new children's toy to the Foster Love Project, they'll make sure it gets to them. And like I said, cut that furnace inspection cost in half from $79.99 to $39.99 All you got to do to get a hold of them, message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH, or give them a call, 412-297-1852. We appreciate them supporting the show. So I was going to go in a different direction here, but I can see the comments, and I can see that our good friend Brian Garrett is trying to stir shit up because this has been a story that's been talked about a lot, I guess, in light of the Monday night game and just George Pickens' performance in general for the Cowboys this year. He says, don't bury the lead. The con artist got fleeced by Jerry Jones for George Pickens. Tell me why this is rearing its ugly head again, other than the fact that the Steelers don't have a legit number two wide receiver and Pickens is having a good year in Dallas.
I think that's exactly the reason why right there. I mean, when the Steelers did move on from him, they were anticipating that Pickens was going to have some games in a possible season like this. So it's not like it's out of the blue. You know, they know his talent. But what we do forget is what happened on that first series of the Cowboys?
Yeah, he wasn't in. He nor CD.
Why was it?
Got benched.
Oh, he did something wrong, right? So, I mean, I made some kind of goofy comment on Twitter yesterday about the Remember the Titans.
Jerry Bertier.
Sometimes you just got to cut a man loose. And it was at that point of the relationship that you just had to cut a man loose. You knew it might not have been immediately good for you, but in the long run, when the people around him did not want him or were through with him, you really don't have much choice. It looks bad right now, and not one of us are going to deny that. But when he goes to Tennessee next year and the Steelers got that third round pick in April, the view might be changed a little bit.
Yeah, I just have a hard time reconciling the folks who back in January were all aboard the trade Pickens train because he's a locker room cancer and all that stuff that you just outlined, but then have come back around now to, oh no, they should have kept him because the Steelers wide receiving core hasn't been what they thought it was going to be.
Yeah. The people, cause you can't fire Tomlin or Terrell Austin this week. So you had to move on to something else.
Yeah. I guess there's always, you always got to find something to bitch about, which I understand, but I don't see how the George Pickens deal, like you said, it's a third round pick. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, clearly nobody else was offering that. I think we established that back in the spring.
They weren't giving it up until they got the third. They were offered the fourth. No. Then they came with the third. Nobody else wanted to touch that. So what does that tell you about the guy too? I mean, a good chunk of people never even had him on their draft board.
And it's because of the headaches, the issues that forced him to sit out the first series in Vegas.
Yeah, like, I mean, look at the stuff that we know about he did last year, let alone the stuff we don't know. You know, that's, I mean, sometimes, like I said, sometimes you just have to pull off the Band-Aid and say, yeah, it's just not going to work. We weren't going to sign him. We got Metcalf. He's, what was he, $30 million a year. Mm-hmm. We're not going to afford both of these. Let's get a third-round pick for this guy. A lot of these guys on this team that have been around or through with this whole antics, let's get rid of this. I mean, you can't go back afterwards and say, yeah. I mean, everybody would love to have George Pickens as the number two right now, right? Metcalf Pickens. Maybe it makes a difference for what? But I think that's just will go away here the first time. Well, as long as he keeps getting balls thrown to him, I think he's fine.
Yeah, he's going to be happy.
But would he have gotten this type of – I mean, Dak Prescott's having the MVP-type season for an awful team, and they're throwing the ball 40 times a game, and CeeDee Lamb was out for a month. Does he have that same reaction here?
No, I don't think he's seen nearly the target here if he were here.
I would love to see Metcalf and Pickens. I would love to see that group.
Oh, there would have been a ton of potential there. Yes. And certainly I think they'd be pushing the ball downfield more in that instance.
But I think at that point they thought they, you know, cleaned up the locker room a little bit. Let's just clean it up a little bit more. We're not going to re-sign him. We made that decision already. If we can get a third round pick, we get a third round pick. I mean, how about they, you know, lose that third round pick in April to draft the next Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson, you know, the third round. Then all of a sudden things change, right? Right now it does not look good, yes, but that was anticipated by – this is not coming out of left field for the Pittsburgh Steelers people, decision makers. They knew this was going to be a likely outcome.
I also think that while the lack of receiving targets may be an issue right now, that having the ability to spread the ball around to your tight ends, which they still haven't done with regularity with Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith, has paid dividends in the realm of Darnell Washington becoming an absolute beast. You know, the triple stiff arm play the other day, the fact that he's getting open downfield, he's catching and running downfield. The development of Darnell Washington is something I know I've been waiting for a couple of years for. We've talked about it a million times. And I don't know if that happens if you're busy feeding Metcalf and Pickens, Metcalf and Pickens, Metcalf and Pickens.
And Darnell's been spectacular. I even potentially put him up there right now as we speak right now as potential team MVP. I mean, honestly, who would have thought that? I thought he was just going to be a blocking tight end. I saw nothing from him his first 2 years. Obviously, something happened in the offseason that the switch flipped. And I remember, I mean, I think Tomlin mentioned something about him. He saw this from him in Georgia. He saw this from last year in the Colts game. I remember asking him after that Colts game when he ran whoever he ran over. He told me early in the game, I want to try to run somebody over to set a tone.
I love it.
And he goes, I don't care. I can get around them. I can jump over them. I'm going to put my shoulder down and try to run it over so they can, you know, sort of remember me. This was just a spectacular run. And honestly, if there was five other guys in front of him, he probably would have ran through those guys too.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the only thing stopping him there was the sideline, really. Yeah. Was
he 300 pounds? Easy. I would love to know. I mean, it's tough, man. I did a story about that before. Maybe I'll try looking at that again. Nobody wants to say how much he exactly weighs, but me asking other people how much somebody weighs is kind of a touchy situation.
Yeah.
Hey, man, how much you weigh, man?
See if he answers. Thanks to our friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show. HigginsProfessional.com. They've been in Mark's house. They'll be in mine soon. They do all kinds of great interior, exterior work. If you own your own business, commercial and industrial painting as well, they'll take care of the drywall repair, all of it. They'll do a fantastic job. Come on out. Give you the color consultation if you're interested in that. Get your free estimate right now by giving them a call at 412-344-0480 or just go to HigginsProfessional.com. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. We have got an absolute legend, Kaboom, an absolute legend waiting in the wings to join us. He is a Pitt legend. He is former head coach of the Miami Dolphins and Chicago Bears. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a legend at my alma mater, Baldwin B. Win. The great Dave Wannstedt joins us now here on Cabale and Mac. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for taking the time. How are you today, man?
I am good, fellas. Good to be on with you. I love the TJ hat there. Absolutely. My man, Chirp, you know?
Chirp. Yep. Chirp, Dom DeSico. I heard there's your couple legends right there.
But Dom, I knew his dad when his dad was at Baldwin. He's another Baldwin Highlander, you know?
His dad's still coaching the TJ basketball team, Dave.
I heard that. I forget who I talked to. Somebody and said that his dad was still going. So that's great. Yeah. Where did I see Dom? You know, Eric Thatcher, who played at Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
I do some work with colleges during the summer. They'll fly me in for a couple of days and stuff during camp. And I was up at Rutgers last year with Greg Schiano and the guy come up and grabbed me from behind. It was Thatch. And I didn't realize at the time he's doing all the East Coast for the 49ers as a scout. So he was up there obviously watching practice and stuff.
I think that's what Dom's doing now, too. I think he was working for the Niners.
Dom's like one of the top guys. I think he's a director of all college scouting or something. He's done really good. He brought Thatch on with him.
Big fans of the DeCicco family here on the Kabbalah.
I'll tell you one thing, Dave, real quick. I was up Baldwin the other day, walked in, and they have a nice little shrine of you right there, of all your awards, photos. And I pulled over my kid, and I'm like, look,
they don't even play football up there anymore from what I'm hearing from all my Pittsburgh guys.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. What is the deal?
I've heard not good things about some of the people involved. I'll just leave it at that. My good friend has a son who was a starting offensive lineman for them, and he and a bunch of guys just walked away from the team earlier this year because of some of the stuff with the coaching staff. I'll leave it at that without trying to get into too much trouble. Obviously, a million Pittsburgh connections, a million Bears connections. We want to get into Steelers Bears in just a little bit, Dave, but I wanted to start with Pitt. And it didn't end up in the outcome they wanted this past weekend, but the Aaron Donald jersey retirement, the place being packed, it's really hard to determine because of how many big names have made it at the NFL level for Pitt, who the greatest of all time is. But is Aaron the guy? I mean, is it more like a Mount Rushmore situation where you got to mention three or four names with next to Aaron: Dorsett, Marino, Revis, Ditka, Fitz, all the others?
Yeah, I saw Pitts in little spots of that pregame show on the ESPN thing. And, you know, I think it's – they didn't even – there's so many guys, they didn't even have Hugh Greene or Shady McCoy up there. There wasn't enough room. I mean, think about that. So – I think it's really by position. You almost have to look at it. I mean, I don't know how you could say that Bill Fraley, you know, wasn't the best offensive tackle to ever maybe come out. You know, and then you got Jimbo Covert right behind him. I mean, please, we're, you know, a Chicago guy. So, I mean, I think it's by position. And, you know, having coached for a long time, I would say that the two best guys that I've ever seen at defensive tackle, number one, and I'm partial to Aaron, obviously, because I recruited him and coached him, Aaron Donald and Reggie White would be the two guys. If you said to me, who would be the two inside guys that you would take right now as all times, and I know Joe Green, you know, but I, you know, obviously Joe would be right there probably with them, but Aaron didn't have the supporting cast around him, you know, when he had his couple great years there at the Rams. You know, the guy he had was a guy that the Bears had drafted and cut or got rid of, and he was a starting defensive end. So my point is that, you know, he didn't have the steel curtain. Aaron did a lot, even Reggie. You know, Reggie was up there with Jerome Brown and Seth Joyner and Sean Jones and some great players around him. I think Aaron, you know, Aaron had to carry that torch a little bit more, I think, on his own than some of these other guys did.
Now, you said you recruited Aaron. He wasn't a superstar in high school. He was a little bit undersized for a defensive tackle. What did you see in him that said, yep, that's the guy, and he's going to turn? Or well, did you think he was going to turn into this guy?
He was a superstar, I mean, in my mind. And you know who, and there's, you know, obviously after the fact, everybody's got a story, and everybody recruited him and everybody coached him and so forth. You know, that's how it goes, right? But the guy that really caught, Greg Gattuso was my assistant coach that was recruiting him at the time. And Greg was on top of him. But the guy that really caught my attention, I was out at Upper St. Clair for some reason. And Jim Render was the coach then. And Jim and I are good friends. And he said, let me tell you something. He says, you need to take a double good look at this kid from Penn Hills. He says, we couldn't run a play. He says, I've never seen a defensive tackle that has completely taken over a game by himself. And it was Aaron. So that really, I had that in the back of my mind. And when Greg Gattuso and I went out there and made the school visit and got it going, that was the first time I met him, and we spent time, and everybody at the school obviously loved him. Then I made the home visit and was in his home with his mom and dad, you know, and just knew the type of people that that were influencing his life. You know, it was an easy decision for me. But I was never one in our scheme of defense. Going back to University of Miami with Russell Maryland and Cortez Kennedy, and everywhere I coached at the Bears, the Chris Zoriches. I mean, I never had the 6'5" defensive tackle type of guy. We were always undersized and quick because of the schemes that we used, and they were the guys that we recruited. So he fit that. He was a good fit for us.
We ought to get Gattuso on here soon too. Ask him what happened to Penn State this year. He's got denied Dennis Sutton. He's got Zane Durant, Zariah Fisher stacked. What do you think of the? I didn't want to veer off into Penn State territory. Everybody's going to yell at me because I'm the Penn State guy.
Well,
but,
I do Big Ten. I do Big Ten TV every week, so I'm on top of that too.
Yeah. What do you think of what went down up there and just in general where Penn State's headed, depending on who their next coach is?
You know what? There's an old expression that, and this is the only thing I can come up with, that fat cats don't fight. And, all of these guys were qualified. A lot of these guys on that team were qualified to go to the NFL last year and be reasonably high draft picks. And they convinced him to come back, which any head coach would want. And they gave him, I don't know how much or what that whole NIL thing was to get him to come back. And whenever you have a bunch of, and then I'm told from a pretty good source that, there wasn't a whole lot of physical getting after guys' ass in the spring or in training camp, and then, I think the quarterback is a really good player. He's won a lot of games, but I don't know. He didn't play big in big games, and that's what has to happen. So there was a little bit of a disconnect, and sometimes, you can convince people to do some of the worst recruiting decisions I made is when I went overboard with a recruit to get him and promised him too much or was going to do too much, or he was going to do too much. And we get there, and now you're back into a corner, and he's really not ready to do that, and it's a mess. So I think that was a little bit to do with Penn State. I think James Franklin did they got talent. I was sitting in the Big Ten headquarters last Saturday up there in Rosemont with the commissioner and everybody, and somebody, there were people coming in and out of the room, and we were in the control room there. And somebody yelled, somebody worked there, "God, how come that guy, the receiver from Indiana, can't get open?" And I said, "That receiver from Indiana is probably a two-star. The guy covering him from Penn State might be a first-round draft pick. He's a five-star." You know what I mean? So my point was that Penn State had the talent. And I don't know where it slipped, except that they just didn't start fast. They weren't ready to go right out of the chute, and it caught up with them.
Dave, who you think fits there in Penn State now? I guess they're doing their due diligence.
Oh, boy.
Is there anybody that jumps out to you and say, that's a Penn State guy?
Penn State guy? No. No, I just so not get into that. I do have some opinions on guys, but and I'm kind of the belief, and I know Saban pretty well, and he was talking the other day, and he said, when Dan Lanning got his job at Oregon and when Kirby Smart got his job at Georgia, these guys went to big programs and they were first time head coaches. And he named three or four other ones. Everybody starts somewhere, obviously. So I started thinking about that, and I wouldn't be opposed if Penn State, they need a new foundation of players and the whole thing. If they hired a top assistant coach that was really good, I would not see that as a problem at all. I don't think they need to go and go get some high level guy. I really don't. That's just my opinion.
Dave, before we pivot into Steelers Bears, I wanted to ask you, do you ever ponder the alternate timelines in your life that could have existed? Like, your dad worked at J&L. You grew up in North Baldwin, St. Wendelin's, Baldwin High School, Hall of Famer, all that. Do you ever stop and wonder, okay, what if I wouldn't have got in? What if I wouldn't have been a GA at Pitt? What if I would have kept, you know, substitute teaching at Baldwin and ended up being a principal there or superintendent, whatever it is? Or what if I would have got the Steelers job in 92? Or do you ever sit back and ponder all the different twists and turns your life has taken and how many times it's involved your hometown?
Yeah, a couple. Yes, I think it's natural to do that. But, you know, I'm just so blessed. I mean, you know, I'm 73 years old now, and I do five between TV and radio shows. I don't have enough time in a week. And then I got six grandkids here. I'm catching their games. So, you know, I've been very blessed to end up where I'm at. And I'll tell you a story, guys. I was coaching at the Dolphins. And Mike Ditka, you know, Coach and I are good friends. We've been friends since he was an assistant at Dallas. Okay, we go way back. And his dad worked in J&L, you know, on the other side of the river up there in Aliquippa. And he had a golf tournament in Naples. And after the golf tournament, he grabbed me and he grabbed Joe Namath and he grabbed Marty Schottenheimer, four Pittsburghers. And Mike owned a restaurant in Naples. And he said, hey, let's all go to my restaurant and get a drink. You know, and this was like 11 o'clock. Naples shuts down at 10. So this was already past everybody's bedtime. So we all load in a car and we head over to Mike's. And we walk in and there's about 10 people in there and finishing their dinner. And Mike comes in and he says, it had been a long day. Okay. Mike says, he's the best. He says, all right, everybody out. That's it. Restaurant's closed. No bills. I got the tabs. So basically, we run everybody out of the restaurant. He gets up, he gives the manager a couple hundred bucks or whatever he gave him and says, I'll close up. So now it's the four of us. And we sit in a booth till I don't know what time in the morning. And all we talked about was that our dads, that if we didn't play football, going back to right decisions, you know, that we would have probably all been working in the steel mill somewhere. I mean, and you know, if it wasn't for football and getting out of Western PA back then, you know, and Mike's 15 years older than I am, and name us up there, but we all kind of agreed that all we talked about was for 3 hours. It was silly. I wish I could have recorded that. God, that would have been a book. I mean, we talked about Western PA and Pittsburgh football and everything for like 4 hours, and then you know, got out of there. But it was. It was a night now, I'll tell you what. But so that, you know, when I got into coaching, I was Coach Major's first captain there at Pitt. You guys know that. Mm-hmm. And I went up to Green Bay, had surgery, came back, was on IR. I started taking a test. I was going to go to the FBI. And there was two parts. I had taken the first part, got through that. And I was studying for the second part. And we win, and I'm a GA with Coach Majors. He gave me an opportunity. And then he leaves. We win the national championship. He goes to Tennessee, and Jackie takes over. And Jackie offers me a full-time job. I was tight end coach and whatever else. Okay. Well, who does Jackie hire? Jimmy Johnson. Now, keep in mind, at this time, I'm still studying for my second part of the FBI test, and I'm working at Pitt. And Jimmy and I play racquetball down at the Y, and we walk across the street to Tambellini's on Wood Street. See, you guys don't have any idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Do you even know where Wood Street is? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so Jimmy and I go over to Tambellini's, and we're sitting there at the bar. And he says, hey, I know you're studying for this test. You're trying to decide if you want to coach or not. And he says, you got to coach. He says, I've been around this thing a long time, blah, blah, blah. And he says, and while we're on the subject, my roommate in college says that he can get me the Oklahoma State job. It's not a very good job, but I want you to come with me. You come with me. So don't you know, I leave Pitt. We had Dan Marino coming in. Jimbo Cover was a freshman. Hugh Green was a freshman. Ricky Jackson. So I leave Pitt and I go with Jimmy Johnson to Oklahoma State. And, you know, the rest was history. So most of the decisions I made were very good, very good. The only big one that I regret We were at the Dolphins, and you know, we were the third winningest coach over my 4 years in the NFL. It was Philly, Green Bay, and then us. We were averaging 10.5 wins a year. And after my fourth year, we went 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs. And Wayne Huizenga, who was fantastic to me, the owner, comes in and says, "Dave, you know, I'm gonna juggle some things around." That's when he hired Dan Marino to do some, you know, administrative stuff and blah blah. And I says, "Well, how does that affect all this stuff affect me?" He says, "Oh no, you'll just still report to me." And I called Jimmy. I remember I called Jimmy and Joe Mad or John Madden at the time. And I said to those, I said, "You know, I don't know. I don't, even though I love Miami and everything's good, we're going to have a good team next year, Ricky Williams, a whole bit." And Jimmy said to me, "You know what?" Jimmy says, "Get out of there. There's 5 NFL jobs open. Which one do you want?" And I said, "Nah, I'm going to stay with my guys." Well, don't you know, I stayed. Like 2 months later, Ricky Williams decides to go on his siesta somewhere, you know, for a year and smoke some marijuana or whatever he was going to do. And then Jay Fiedler gets hurt and we start off the season bad. For us, it was bad. It was like 1-6 or something. And so I had a problem with some of the personnel people at that time. And the owner, Wayne, wanted to play some of these younger guys. I wasn't going to do that. I said, I'll lose the locker room. So I end up leaving. It fell apart. And this was all in a matter of 6 months. And I look back on that and said, you know, Jimmy was probably right. I probably should have said, "Hey, it's been a great run here at the Dolphins, but I'm out." But other than that, it was great. I came back to Pitt just for the reason of to help these kids and make a difference. I mean, you know, it wasn't money. I was making more. I left Pitt and went to Buffalo and made more money than I did at Pitt as a head coach. I mean, I was just there to help these kids. And to this day, on Father's Day, it's amazing the guys that I get calls from and texts from. And so, you know, I was happy with that decision.
Dave, I'm curious, 92, you were one of the finalists for the Steelers job. Did you feel that you had a chance, a good chance of everything I remember about that? They thought you were the man.
I thought I had a real good chance. You know what, though? I was on the NFL 3 years, and we had the reputation at Dallas then. I think our reputation at Miami was, you know, the convicts and Catholics. I think we were kind of, we carried that. And Jerry was, now it's all about Jerry Jones. But back then, Jerry was a maverick. Jerry Jones, you're going to put your own signage up. You're going to break away from the NFL and you're going to go do your own, you know, uniform thing with Nike. All the, oh my God, we can't do that. That was the theme in the NFL. And Jimmy was Jimmy, you know. So I and Bill and I've talked about it. And Bill was tied in with Marty for a long time, who was tied in with the Rooneys, who was tied in with Art Modell and the old guard. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that that probably played some of it, you know what I mean, a little bit. But you know, we were, back then, you know, I don't think it had a whole lot to do with me. That's not what I'm saying. But that cowboy image back then really wasn't, I don't think people knew what the heck we were doing or going to do.
Well, yeah, it was, I don't know. Have you watched the Netflix documentary yet?
I have. I watched, and you know what made me mad? We were number one in defense in every category almost that year. And it doesn't get mentioned. All they talked about was how crazy Charles Haley was. You know, I mean, it's the whole thing of, I guess, offense sells tickets, right? Defense wins championships, you know?
But that's
but I did watch it. And up until about, until Jerry started getting into all the, you know, all the TV contracts and all that, then I kind of had enough, you know?
Well, that's an interesting perspective, though, that I'd never thought about in relation to the 92 Steelers coaching search is you coming from an organization and a group of folks that were viewed as mavericks, right? Like you talk about Jerry and how he was battling Tagliabue in the league over the right sponsorships and the stadium that. And then how you have the old guard like Rooney and Modell and Marty being close to them and Bill Cowher having worked for Marty in Kansas City and how those two things may have really, I don't want to say drove the decision as much as anything else, but had, you would think, an impact on it.
Oh, sure. And it should have. It should have. I mean, I think if I was Mr. Rooney, you knew what you were getting big picture from, you know what I mean, with Bill and with myself, you know, I mean, everything we were doing it in Dallas. And like I say, the Miami thing still was with us. You know, people were waiting to see what type of program we were going to put together, you know, with Dallas. You know, we had just run everybody off the league, and Jimmy was making trades like crazy. You know, I mean, it was wild down there. It was really, you saw the documentary. I mean, it probably wilder than you'd like to admit, but it was there.
Curious about the Bears real quick, Dave. Being the guy that's spent a big portion of his life in Chicago, do they really, really dislike Aaron Rodgers as much as it seems like from the outside?
Well, Aaron didn't help when he beat him for, I don't know, the fourth or fifth time, and he went over to the fans and he did the thing across his chest, you know, yeah. like the WWE, you know, the wrestlers, you know, the belt on his thing. And then he came out and said, "I own you." I mean, God, that's what you know, you don't want to say that to people in Chicago. This is, Chicago is a big Pittsburgh, you know, as far as mentality up here. God. So, yes, they do. Yes, they do. And to answer your question, I don't know if he's going to play. I was texting with Terry last night, Bradshaw. I do a radio show Thursday. He usually comes on and, you know, once a year, maybe twice a year. And he's doing a book signing this weekend, so he can't come. But I was going to talk to him about playing with the, you know, the broken wrist. Mm-hmm. You know, I read somewhere. And then I was at Pitt. I was on the staff. That was my first year with Coach Sherrill when we opened up the season with Notre Dame, if you remember, in Pitt Stadium. And I think it was Ross Bronner. I think it was Ross Bronner was the defensive end, or Willie Fry. I remember both those guys. They were first and second round picks. They hit Matt Kavanaugh, and Matt broke his left wrist. And so, you know, that really put a wrench in our season. I mean, we had a really good year, but we were potentially going to win it all again that year. And but I was looking forward to talking to Terry about the wrist, because sounds like that's what Aaron Rodgers is dealing with.
Yeah, if you were in a position as a head coach still, Dave, and you had an established future Hall of Fame starter, 41 years old, who might be less than 100%, or you got a trusted veteran backup who is at 100%, which direction do you go, and how hard is it of a conversation to have with that future Hall of Famer about, hey, listen, I know you want to go, I know you love to play this team, but it might be best if we sit you down for a week or two so that you're ready for the playoffs. Is that what you would do, or would you say no? Hell no. If the guy wants to play, he plays.
Well, I don't know the severity of the injury, and, you know, and I don't know, you know, the biggest thing about that is, boy, you don't want to make it worse. And if you get hit, you know, so now your quarterback is going to, from a schematic standpoint, if he's thinking, I've got to get rid of this football, I cannot go to the ground. You know, a lot of the, as you guys know this better than anybody, I mean, a lot of big pass plays come when you hold on to it that last second and you know that you're going to take a hit. And Aaron likes moving too. Even though at his age, he will still get out of the pocket and, you know, and make plays. And when you're out of the pocket, you're unprotected. I don't know. It all depends on the severity of the injury, what they think of the Bears. You know, the Bears have been more of a, you know, taking opportunity. I think they're averaging about 2 turnovers a game. They're leading the league, I think, in takeaways. That's been kind of their MO, to be honest with you. And Ben Johnson does a nice job dialing up plays. I mean, there'll be some guys open. He can get guys open, and we're running the ball here. So they're doing a nice job here. They really are for a young football team.
You said Chicago is a big Pittsburgh, which leads me to believe that the fans are probably skeptical all the time. Bears won 5 of 7 by 1 possession or less. Is the city believing in the Bears right now? Or are they like, I'm not quite sure yet?
Coach, they're ordering their Super Bowl rings. Trust me, this town is starved. for a winner. I was at the Blackhawks game last night, and yeah, you would have. Oh, that's the last thing on their mind is being worried. We're going all the way here in Chicago. No, it's
That's
well,
good. Yeah.
is it just the defense that's done it, Dave? You talked about the opportunistic nature of the defense, leading the league
No.
in turnover differential. But I mean, Caleb, I think, has taken a step this year. You've got all those young wide receivers, the tight end as well. Is it just a matter of you had to have the right coach come in and find the right fit with the quarterback?
Well, the first thing, I went up to practice. I talked to Ben, and I went up there and I said, I don't want to come up when you're in shorts. You let me know when you're going to be in full pads and hitting somebody. I'll be there. So he says, this is a good one to come to, coach. So I went up, and the first play from scrimmage, they lined up under center with the tailback, like the I formation, put a tight end back there as a blocker, which they'll do. And I said to myself, I could get in the car and leave right now. I saw enough. That's all I wanted to see was a guy under center with a dotted tailback and not the shotgun every play and all that stuff. So my point is that last week, I think they were about 75% under center, and they ran it 39 times last week and threw it 32. I'm telling you that just to let you know that they are a balanced team. And when they throw it, they're going to do all the Detroit play actions, but they do a lot of movement stuff. Caleb Williams is a dangerous quarterback when he has a run pass option, and they take advantage of it. So, Ben's kind of figured out what these guys do best. And yeah, you mentioned the tight ends. The tight ends have probably been the best position as far as accountability. Those guys really haven't dropped many passes. They got the number one pick out of Michigan. They took him, Colson Loveland, and then they got Cole Kmet a couple years ago out of Notre Dame. So they got two tight ends that can block and catch and run after the play. So I know Freiermuth. I mean, he's a heck of a player, but they got two of him.
Yeah, what about their skill players? I mean, they got some receivers they were able to
Yeah.
accrue there. They look like they're pretty stacked at that position as well.
They are. I personally think DJ Moore is the best guy they got. And it's tough. They only got one football. It's the same old story. I mean, he's good, and Rome Odunze is probably Caleb's favorite target. And then they got this young guy, Burden, Luther Burden, who a lot of people think was a number one pick. They took him in the second round out of Missouri. He's a heck of a player. You better tackle him. He might be the best run after catch guy. So they've got plenty of talent. That's not the problem. They got skill guys. And the offensive line, they signed a new center and two new guards. They're playing good. They're solid guys. Right tackle's probably a Pro Bowl player, Darnell Wright. Defense is a bend but don't break and come up with a turnover. That's how they've been winning, guys.
Yeah, pretty similar blueprint for the Steelers on defense this year as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could see the ball going back and forth a good bit on Sunday afternoon. Dave, we got to thank you for the time this morning. We kept you a little longer than we intended to, but some great stories. We appreciated talking to you about Pitt, Penn State, and obviously the Steelers and the Bears. And we'll have to catch up again soon. Thanks again for taking the time today, man.
Okay, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I don't have a lot of my football. All my Super Bowl stuff's all in Naples, Florida, which is where I'm actually live, but well, half and half. But see that picture there? 13-9. That's a guy took that picture when the clock hit zero. Sent it to me up here in Chicago. So it's probably the only football thing I got up here, to be quite honest with you. So I figured I'd sit here,
Well,
Yeah.
that's the perfect one. That's the centerpiece right there.
Big week this week, right? Georgia Tech, right? I mean,
Georgia Tech
they're
and
I haven't
Miami.
seen them. Yeah, I haven't seen Georgia Tech play, but boy, it looks like they're doing a heck of a job on offense, for sure,
Yeah, they got a bowling ball of a quarterback too, who can steamroll you or drop it in over top too. So that should be, if Pitt could pull that off, that'd be a massive upset, I would think. Dave, thanks again for the time, man. We'll catch up
Dave.
soon. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, guys. See you
Good to
guys.
see you.
See you
Dave
guys.
Wannstedt Pitt, great. Obviously, Pitt head coach, Dolphins head coach, Bears head coach.
A little knife error at the end for you, West, for you.
For all the Mountaineers out there. Boop. Little dart. Bang.
It sounds like we could have went on for like 16 years with him, huh?
We could have talked all day, yeah. But I told him 20 minutes, and we ended up keeping him for a half hour. So thanks to Wani for doing it.
That's a great story, so it's pretty hard to interrupt.
I never thought of that aspect of, and I'm glad you asked him about the Cowher hire in 92 with the Steelers. But like, I never thought about that perspective on it of, oh, yeah. You know, the Rooneys were the old guard, and they didn't want somebody to come in and maybe, you know, foster some kind of renegade environment or whatever. And they had their choice of either Pittsburgh guy, and they ended up going with Cowher instead of Wannstedt because Dave had obviously come up with Jimmy at Miami and in Dallas.
Yeah, I would assume that no matter who they hired there, if it was Wani or Cowher, it would have been very similar. They were both been very successful, I think. You know, we know Cowher was. I think Wani would have found his way quite nicely with the Steelers.
Yeah, that's one of those alternate timelines, like I asked them, though, that you sit back and wonder about, I think, if it would have gone a little bit differently. Like, if he wouldn't have gone and played racquetball with Jimmy Johnson that one day and gone to Tambolini's afterwards, if he would have ended up in Oklahoma State and taking the trajectory he did.
That's life in general, though. Anybody can say that. If I didn't do this or I didn't meet this person, I wasn't here at this point, where would I be at right now? So it's – you can get down that wormhole, that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I just think it's always interesting to think about. Thanks to our friends at Nail Studio 2 for supporting the show. Speaking of the holidays, you can get a $100 gift card right now at Nail Studio 2. You buy it in store, you'll get an additional $20 gift card on top of that. So get on out there, right there, Lakeview Square on 19 in McMurray Peters Township area, right next to Juniper Grill. And they're open Mondays now as well. You can book your appointments online anytime. Go to nailstudio2.com, nailstudio II, those are Roman numerals, nailstudio2.com, or give them a call, 724-941-4595. And guys, if yins aren't getting your nails did, you probably have somebody in your life who wants to. And if you pop in store and buy that $100 gift card, you'll get an extra $20 gift card on top of it as well. We appreciate the folks at Nail Studio 2 for supporting the show. Oh, I wanted to ask you real quick.
What's that?
Injuries on defense and the way the Steelers played around them last week against Cincy. No Highsmith, but Herbig and Sawyer both played a ton. Herbig obviously had a pretty good impact on the game, I think. Darius Slay, still not sure about where he's at in the concussion protocol. They brought in Asante Samuel, but James Pierre played a hell of a game. But
he's going to go back to the bench here.
Really?
That's what Mike Tomlin made it quite crystal clear, that if Slay's ready to go and clear this week, that he's the starter. Which, interesting.
Yeah, see, this isn't quite on the same level, obviously, as Rodgers and his wrist. But, like, this is part of the reason players love Mike Tomlin, because he trusts his veterans and lets them guide the ship, so to speak.
Well, you know what, I really don't have too much, although that Slay has struggled this year, give him that opportunity to come back. Yeah, have that quick hook, man. You know, this guy right here is 42. He's been balling out. So if you don't produce, out you come. So I'm okay with giving him his first crack back and see what happens. See if he can regain some of that Eagles form that he had a couple of years, last year, year before that, and the year before that. Let's see. But I would have a quick hook. I'd have a quick hook.
Yeah, I will say I thought he looked a good bit better out in L.A. against the Chargers. It didn't produce a result that they wanted, but that was more on the offense than anything else.
You have to be skeptical still with Pierre just a little bit. I know he's played well, but we're talking about a guy that's had this many snaps compared to Slay's this many. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, is it going to catch up? You know, like the utility ball player that all of a sudden thrown into the starting lineup. He goes batting 350 coming off the bench, but he's a 200 hitter and as a starter. I wonder if that plays in the back of their mind a little bit.
Probably. Like, you know, Slay has shown more consistency over the years than Pierre has, obviously. He's got a longer career with a lot more experience, like you said. But I think sometimes you got to be tempted to ride the hot hand. And Pierre's the hot hand after the way he played against the Bengals. So, but this is the...
Hey, I'll tell you one thing. These receivers they have in Chicago ain't no slouches.
Neither are the tight ends, like Dave said. Loveland and Kmet both.
Imagine if they would have taken your buddy Ty Warren instead of Loveland.
Man.
What are you passing him up for? You take Loveland, what was it, 14th over, whatever pick it was.
Was it 14?
I don't know if it was that number or not. But instead of Ty Warren, but I think it comes down to this game is pressuring and making Caleb Williams feel uncomfortable. And of course, DeAndre Swift.
And not letting it, well, yeah, not just that, but not letting them produce those turnovers that they've done all year against Rodgers and your offense. That's another part of why, I don't know, Rodgers going in there playing tentative maybe because he's hurt, but also you got to guard against turnovers. Assuming he plays, we'll see if he ends up practicing at all. Whatever you're doing on Sunday, if you're not going to be in Chicago for the game, get down to Archie's, best place in the burg for food, drinks, and sports. 80-cent wing nights Monday through Thursday nights. That includes tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday night football, Bills and Texans, ice cold irons and iron cities, and a great menu all over the place, not just the wings, sandwiches, burgers, flatbread pizzas, all of it delicious. Get on down to Archie's on Carson. We appreciate Arch supporting the show. All right, two quick things, and then we're going to wrap up because we've been here long enough. Thursday night football. I need a pick from you. Buffalo or Houston?
Buffalo or Houston. Uh-huh. How can you pick a buck against Buffalo at this point after what they performed at last? They're like Jekyll and Hyde. You don't know what Buffalo team you're getting, but you just can't pick against Buffalo after what they did last week or what Josh Allen did last week.
Yeah, I mean – I think they come back down to earth just a little bit, and that defense is still concerning. But I think some backup quarterback magic in Houston runs out. I don't know if Davis Mills, even at home, can upset the Bills. Although the Bills lost to the Falcons a few weeks ago. Who the hell knows?
Houston got a pretty stout defense with a couple very good rushers, edge rushers. So,
yeah.
It's always a equalizer when it comes to a quarterback if you can pop him upside the face, which the Texans can do.
And Allen has been turnover prone at times through a couple more picks last week, even though he scored 17 touchdowns.
Pick the Texans.
You're talking me into it. All right, I'm going to take the Texans.
All right.
I'm going to regret that. But I've got like a 3-game lead in the picks competition now.
Oh, yeah, baloney.
It's not baloney. I don't have the sheet with me, but trust me, you blew a couple.
By the way, I wore the TJ hat instead of the Iron City hat just for Wani.
Really?
I knew he was going to.
You knew that'd get the chirp mention or the DeSico mention in there?
Dumb, chirp. Yeah.
All right. One more thing before we wrap up. You called this past Monday's Monday Night Raw the best of the Netflix era.
Yes.
I don't know if I disagree with you.
Oh, it's great.
Like, no, I think it's a really good point.
Like, all of the hardcores were like, wow, this storyline doesn't make sense. Was I entertained for 2.5 hours? Hell yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, I've told you before, I think I mentioned it last week. Like, I've been kind of, you know, on the downslope since SummerSlam, wondering what the hell they're doing with a lot of stuff. I thought they did a really nice job Monday night. They keep building Dom up. So they're still celebrating Cena. There was a great video I saw from after the show with Punk and Cody. And they're just doing a really good job of building the War Games storylines for Survivor Series while building up everything else at the same time. I got really pissed when Lesnar came out because I can't stand Lesnar.
Really?
But then, bang, OTC hits.
Yeah, you know, funny part about that is, and I thought this was fabulous production, is when my kid woke up, because he can't watch it that late.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, hurry up before school. Watch the last 5 minutes. And he turns it on, and Brock comes, and Brock cleans house, and he shuts it off because the credits came up.
Produced
all of it.
Yeah.
Like, no. Turn it back on.
Yeah, they hit the credits with just a couple minutes left, and that's not your cue to tune out yet. That's your cue that something big is about to happen.
Yes. Yeah, so then when Roman comes out, I really like how the War Games men's side was worked out. I think it's, you got, superstar after superstar. I don't really care if it doesn't have a definitive storyline. The women's a little iffy. I'm not quite sure where they're going with there, but you got Cena and Dom for the strap in a Survivor Series, which I do believe Dom will take back. What about Maxxine Dupri with the win?
Woo! I love it.
I mean, honestly, I was skeptical about that match because sometimes she's a little bit hesitant and you haven't seen a lot of her. Rewatching it, she had some really nice spots in that move.
Well, I think it's a really, really good example, and not to get too inside baseball with it, but like Becky Lynch has done a really good job of basically bringing her along over the last couple months. Like, you go back and watch the first match between those two a couple months ago, and it's completely different from Monday nights. Like you said, she's not as tentative, and credit to Becky Lynch, who I know is a heel now in the ring, but has done a great job, I think, of bringing along a future star. And if you would have told somebody a year ago that Maxxine Dupri was going to win the women's intercontinental title, they'd have looked at you like you had three heads. Yeah, but it made total sense Monday night.
I think I might have wrote that earlier in the year that people to watch out for the rest of the year. I think I might have thrown her. If I didn't throw her name in there, I had it and took it out. I hope I didn't take it
out. Should have stuck to your guns.
I'm not quite sure if what I did there now I think about it. Hey, what about the great one? The great Dolph Ziggler returning.
I know. That was big. I didn't know. I was suspecting it would be a return of some sort when Pierce teased it the previous week. But I thought we might get like an Edge or something like that. But
you know who's there's only one left. You remember when Cena broke the fourth wall or the third wall, whatever the hell wall it was.
The fourth wall.
And he said, hey there. He used their real names. Zack Ryder, hey there, Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
There's one person that he has not shown up yet, Cesaro. Maybe he's next on the docket.
Jesus.
He brought up his name too, and the other two showed up.
Yeah.
I know there's no more. I think they're into the second round, but you can get around that quite easily.
Yeah. You come up with an injury, and all of a sudden, a replacement. Yeah.
I still like Karrion Kross to be Cena's final match. What do you think about that?
Ooh, I don't know about final match, but a run-in during Cena's final match would be massive.
Yeah.
And screw Cena out of a win in his final match. You want to come back with heat, but still have heel heat? That would do it. People would be happy to see him. They'd be excited, but they'd be pissed off that he ruined Cena's final match. That would be a big Karrion Kross move.
It's going to be interesting. You want to go to...
They've reeled me back in, Kaboom. They've reeled me back in just ahead of Survivor Series.
I'm going to go to D.C. in mid-December. Cheapest tickets, like a grand.
No, I think I'm good.
My kid wants to go, and I looked at the prices. I'm like,
no. Maybe not.
No.
Maybe not. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of Kabali and Mac. Thanks to all the ins for following on social media. Make sure you continue to do so. Friday, we'll tell you about some of the awesome giveaways we got planned for the holidays. If you are following on all of the social media, X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all of it, don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe on YouTube because we're close to getting to that magic number to give away either a Will Howard autographed helmet or a Stone Cold Steve Austin autographed vest. Friday, full preview of Steelers Bears. If you missed anything today, go back and watch it, including some great stories from Dave Wannstedt.
Wanny.
And Friday. Wanny. How about dropping a DeSico mention in there, too? Chirpak and DeSico. Everybody in TJ watching this is like,
ooh. I did see the old shrine. It was there.
I
got a picture of it somewhere.
I want to see that. All right, that's going to do it for today. We'll talk to you again on Friday. Thanks for joining us here on Kabali and Mac. See you. Bye.